Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bringing Penn State football out of a, quote, living hell? Now, I would say Bill O'Brien did that. I don't think that was James Franklin who brought the program back from
O'Brien left, the dead. O'Brien left in a blaze of glory. Remember, he was basically saying, if these paterno loyalist people are mad about what I'm doing, they can shut the F up. And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm sick of those people. And then walked right out of there. And Franklin did take over at a point in time where they were still sanctioned heavily.
Yep.
And so I absolutely think like he brought them, he finished the process of bringing them out of a dark period. Bill O'Brien took the ball and ran with it at start, but I think Franklin on that front absolutely did a lot. His problem was he got them to a level and then couldn't get them to the next level and kept them there long enough where people were like, how are you this bad at beating your new contemporaries in the sport?
But I felt like when he got there that Penn State was already on the comeback trail. You know, like I felt like the heaviest lifting had already been done by O'Brien.
I didn't.
Like you actually still felt it was a hellscape when he got there. So you agree with Dawkins?
Yeah, I think that's actually.
Well, then he should get a lot of credit. Then he should get a lot of credit then.
I mean, I don't think his. Well, I think calling his tenure like some binary pass fail is completely missing it. I think for much of what he did, like his time there, he did very good work. He elevated that program. That was not a plum job when he took it. It has become a plum job because of the work he overall did. His big sin was once he got them near the level of Michigan, but especially Ohio State,
right?
He never got over that level. But if you're taking his tenure in balance, he took them from a place that was pretty ugly,
yeah,
and got them to a place that is much, much, much better. They are going to be, I would say, unless like some other monster job comes open, the most attractive job opening in this carousel season. That's a more attractive job than Florida, in my opinion, if and when they fire Billy Napier. It's a more attractive job than Oklahoma State.
Well, that's, yeah, that's a given.
More, I mean, who else is, it's a way more attractive job than Virginia Tech.
I don't necessarily agree with Florida. I don't know if I want to make that an argument right now and have that conversation so much. I do think it's interesting that just hearing you say, hey, let's give this guy props for digging Penn State out of the hole it was in. I do think it's interesting then that you were so, you were so firm on saying yesterday this was the right move and getting rid of James Franklin was the right call when just a year ago they were in the Final Four. I mean, he did get to the national semifinals. They were beating Notre Dame late. It's not like he was coming off a disappointing year. He was coming off his best year as Penn State head coach, arguably.
That's like a sliding doors moment because I think the continued failures, like beating Notre Dame late but not finishing the job, to me.
So you would look at that year as a failure?
I would look at that year as a continuation of the same problems that plagued him every time he saw a team with a big ranking next to their name. And then this year,
well, Boise State and SMU had, quote, big rankings. They just weren't
a major conference team, I should say. I know SMU's an ACC team, but they're, I would say, fourth on four.
I mean, I'm guilty of that too. I mean, I absolutely think that fans move the goalposts on him. In terms of like,
but they did because they moved the goalposts because he moved them by being successful enough for the expectations to change.
I understand that, but I would say that the national quarterfinals is a big game. He won it. It wasn't close. And then we decide after the fact that it actually wasn't a big game because Boise State wasn't a good enough team. I am raising my hand to someone who did that to him. I could understand some people in his camp being like, well, that's horse crap. They had the best running back, maybe the best player in the country, and we smacked him in the playoff, and nobody gives our coach credit for it. And for the most part, I think they're right. Like, I didn't give him a lot of credit for winning that game.
But it was still
a big game.
You could still file both of those games under beat a team he should beat. It was a one-man band in the form of Genty. Kevin Jennings puked all over himself at Beaver Stadium in a game you and I both thought SMU was going to win.
Right.
Not our best look.
Then he should get credit for it if we thought he was going to lose that game.
He absolutely should get credit for having built that program back up. Like, if O'Brien started it, here, you know what's the analog here? In this situation, O'Brien is Ben Howland, and Jamie Dixon and James Franklin are one and the same.
Fine. Jamie Dixon actually
was a better Pitt coach, pretty obviously, because he did it for a lot longer than Ben Howland.
Yes.
But he never got over the hump, and eventually it curdled.
Yeah.
And I think if they lose to Oregon and they come back and kind of do their thing and probably definitely lose to Ohio State, they never go there and win. That's part of the problem. And probably with the way things are going, lose to Indiana, but that's it. And
yeah.
They beat everybody else. They beat Iowa.
Right.
They beat Nebraska. He's a 9-3 coach, and people are like, you lost to three likely playoff participants. No big shakes. This is same old, same
old.
It's losing to the two teams he lost to that made it toxic.
But I do think, and it's interesting, I was talking, I'm not going to tell this person's name because I don't have permission to do it. Amanda and I have a mutual friend who was a captain at Penn State, and I asked her to text him last night for his thoughts on this. And I thought, having been at these games, that he was going to have a very negative viewpoint in terms of, like, it was past time.
Mm-hmm.
It had to happen. You can't lose to Northwestern like that. And to pick up on what you said about Dixon, his take was actually, Penn State fans have lost their minds here. We just fired a guy who wins 10 games every year, with the exception of, this is a horrible year, but for the most part, has us really good every year, and we just fired him because we've got these delusions of grandeur that we can actually be better than what we've been under James Franklin, which, if you think about it, to go back to your Dixon analogy, that's kind of what it's been like for Pitt since they got rid of him. They have not gotten back to that point. Everybody thought it was stale and it was time, but like, we were bitching about getting into the NCAA tournament and not playing well in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They haven't sniffed that consistency since.
I would say the one difference between Franklin and Dixon in that sense is Dixon's 09 team especially was a really good college team. But, Kevin Stallings once made fun of me to my face about this. Most people in the sport thought if they had gotten by Villanova, UNC would have crushed them.
But James
has had, rosters that other...
But James could say if they didn't take a Washington team that had no business being in the playoff, we would have gotten in, and maybe I could have won with Saquon Barkley.
Maybe he could have. But
probably not, because he's James Franklin, but he could at least say that.
But also, this year, on paper, he was supposed to have maybe his best team ever, and it cratered for him.
Right.
Like, that's where it changes. He had a better team on paper this year than I think Jamie was ever able to assemble at Pitt, and look where it has them at through six games. They're probably going to be 3-6 after nine games. Would you agree? Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana in
a
row?
It's possible. I mean, they might win at Iowa on Saturday, but who knows? What difference does it make? It's still an unbelievably lousy,
They'll be struggling to get into a bowl.
Embarrassing season.
They might be playing their future coach, potentially, Nebraska, with a chance to save themselves for bowl eligibility.
I just wonder if any Penn State fans agree, and I want to give them the chance to sound off on this, that Franklin kind of got a raw deal at 412-928-9370. Someone else who agrees with that is Rich Rodriguez, which is interesting. He said this on his radio show last night, quote, "I don't know if it sends the right message to your team that you kind of gave up on your team. It's not even halfway through the season. This is not the right time to fire a coach."
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's outside not, of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rich Rodriguez.
The right time to fire a coach is right before they bolt for a new job at Michigan, presumably.
But, I mean, they didn't even give him time to turn the season around.
I maintain that you've got former players sticking up for him here and everything, and you might have a subset of that fan base that is now wildly out of touch with maybe what the reality is as long as Ohio State is Ohio State, Pony.
Yeah.
But I maintain, I haven't talked to anybody on the inside there. You think any Penn Staters really want to talk to me? I maintain that the way this happened, it was probably kind of impulsive, but probably also based on that locker room looking like an atrocity right now, as far as like morale and everything else. I think he lost this particular team. And I think that they were
probably... Well, they played like it. They played like a team that had quit on their coach.
And I also think that once the UCLA game happened, truth be told, I think that they were going to move on from him at bare minimum at the end of the season. And I think Northwestern just accelerated the process.
Yes.
That's what I think happened.
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of Penn State fans. I mean, this is everything. This is like their world right now. What do you do? How do you replace James Franklin? I did not think that after yesterday, we were going to be met with criticism from inside the program, from current players and former players, that this was the wrong move. And I wonder, I'll open up the phone lines again to Penn State fans and Penn State alums, if anybody actually feels that way. Maybe there isn't, and I'll throw it out there at 412-928-9370, and we'll have nobody call in who says, actually, I do second guess or question them firing James Franklin, and we'll just move on from it. But when probably the biggest mouthpiece, Dawkins is a great talker. He's just like his dad who passed away. He is an excellent, excellent, excellent talker. When he unprompted, like, cuts this promo on people that are reveling in James Franklin getting fired there, it does get my attention.
Sounds like he should have just done the hard times promo, Donnie. You think James Franklin put hard times on Penn State? No way.
Yeah, he's saying it's the opposite. He's saying he basically saved the program.
He did save
and
the program.
And he's getting just, I almost swore. He's getting blasted for it. And I wonder if Penn State fans feel weird about that. Yes, here's a man that rescued us, but I'm thrilled that he got fired. How do you say he sucks at his job then? You know, if you're one of these people.
Now, should Pitt fans not call in on this in case, or neutral parties?
No, Pitt, they can eventually, but like I said, I prefer to hear from Penn State fans first. Bill texted in and said, well, what grade would you give James Franklin for his entire tenure then at Penn State?
I think his tenure is probably like B to B plus range.
Malzy, Donnie?
That's what I was thinking. I mean,
probably B plus. I'll be firm and say firm B plus.
He up until these last 2 weeks, the guy never had teams stub their toe. Like he always just
he lost to Indiana and some teams early on, way back. He lost that game against Illinois that went overtimes.
Once he got this team and program back to the level that it's been at, he very rarely
2020 and 2020 sort of from 2016 up through the end of last year. He has 2020, weird year, COVID year, throw it out the door. And he has 2021, also weird. Other than that, it's been 10, 9, or 11 wins every single time.
And he usually just lost to the teams that everybody else
won a Rose Bowl. He won a Cotton Bowl. He won a Fiesta Bowl there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.